Good evening again. Good to see everybody as hot as it is. If you'd like to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, I just want to make reference to that passage that we spoke about this morning. If you're visiting with us or here for the first time today, this morning we talked about religious division, musical instruments in worship. And we looked at what the Bible says about that in the Old and New Testaments. And we also looked at some well-known denominational preachers that spoke against the use of instrumental music in the church, primarily for the simple reason that the early church didn't have instrumental music. The reason is they understood the principle. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, I always sum up that verse this way, simply, don't go beyond what is written. What's written for us today is the New Testament, the law of Christ, Galatians 6, verse 2. And what that passage tells us is if we don't find something in the New Testament, we don't have authority to do it. Because if you do that, then you're adding to God's Word or you're subtracting from it. And the Bible clearly says not to do that. We have principles of that taught in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, I believe. Think about Matthew 7, verses 21 and 23 also. Notice, who will eventually go to heaven? It won't be all believers, as Jesus shows in that passage. It won't be all good people. It'll be those who actually believed and did God's will. We can't do God's will unless we know His will, and then we have to continue in that. Let's look at five main arguments for using musical instruments in the worship services, and then we'll look at some scriptures and see if they support that or if those are just found to be, as Jesus condemned, traditions of men in Matthew chapter 15 and also Mark chapter 7. One argument is that instruments were used in the Old Testament. We know that's true because as we read through the New Testament, we find instruments were used. If you look at Amos chapter 6, verse 5, if you'll turn to that passage for just a minute. And this tells us where instruments originated in the Old Testament, in the worship of the assembly. Amos chapter 6 and verse 5. I'm reading from the King James. He was continuing his thought. He says, those that chant, is actually quaver, to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. David introduced musical instruments in the early assembly in the Old Testament. God allowed this for a time. If you look at Amos 5, verses 21 through 23, back up one chapter, verses 21 through 23, even when people do God's will, if their heart is not in it, we talked about John 4, verses 23 and 24, where Jesus said we must worship in spirit and in truth. That's what we're talking about tonight, acceptable worship. All worship is not acceptable or pleasing to God. We see that an Old Testament example is found in Amos chapter 5. Notice here, they were using instruments. They were making the offerings. But hear what he says. Beginning in verse 21, Amos chapter 5. Through the prophet, God said, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Excuse me. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Verse 23, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. So here, the Israelites had perverted worship. It was no longer acceptable to God, and God told them, I will not accept your worship. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, that the Pharisees had substituted traditions of men contrary to the Word of God. And Jesus said that kind of worship is vain. Vain worship is empty, and the word really means worthless. We don't want to offer worthless worship to God because He won't accept it. One Bible scholar, Brother Arlie E. Moore, and I don't remember, he had a brother, Arlie Moore had a brother. I was baptized by one of these men. I don't remember which one it was, in the metropolis of Goldsmith, Texas, some years ago. Very small town, population 50 maybe back then. But he made a statement, Brother Arlie E. Moore. He said instruments were, quote unquote, not introduced until about 400 years after the law was given. So that was not God's original intention. Just like a king for Israel was not God's intention, even though He did allow it for a time. He says it was introduced by David, as we just read in Amos 6 and verse 5. He continues here, the people insisted on having a king, and God permitted them to have one. Instruments of music were introduced by David, and God permitted it, as He did the king. Although David and others used mechanical instruments in Old Testament worship, we need to remember and distinguish between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the law of Moses and the law of Christ. The law of Moses in Deuteronomy 5 was only given to the Israelites for a certain time. That was to bring in the Messiah. We find in Galatians chapter 3 that when faith in Christ has come, He had compared the law as a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. He said, when faith has come in Christ, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. We know that old law was nailed to the cross when Jesus was. Colossians 2 verse 14 and Ephesians 2 verse 15, parallel passages on that, tell us that those ordinances were blotted out and nailed to the cross. So people need to understand that today. What took place in the Old Testament, the principles may still apply, but as far as worship, that law has changed. We find that in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12, where the Hebrew writer said, where the law, where the priesthood is changed, there is also made of necessity a change of the law. God knew this back in Jeremiah 31 as He prophesied the New Testament, the New Covenant. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Another argument that people use for mechanical instruments in the Lord's or in worship is that the New Testament does not forbid their use. And that's called the Luther principle. That's a denominational principle that says basically if the Bible doesn't specifically condemn a thing, then you can do it. And that leaves a lot of room for error. We used the example this morning of Noah in the ark. When God said use gopher wood, Noah knew exactly what He meant. Use this kind of wood, don't use any other kind. He didn't have to be told, don't use birch or pine or sap or any other kind, use gopher wood. And the same thing is true today when we're told to sing in the New Testament. As we looked at some passages this morning, Hebrews 2 verse 12, in the midst of the church will I sing. In Ephesians 5 verse 19, notice, singing spiritual songs. In Colossians 3:16, also similar to that passage. But the Luther principle basically wants to allow anything that is not expressly forbidden. Again, you could add a lot of things. The Bible doesn't say we cannot all bring our bicycles into the church building, but we don't need to be told that, do we? We know we're to assemble, and this is the place of God. We don't have to be told, come in sensibly and don't act silly. God, I think, realizes that we had some common sense. We need to exercise those things. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 tells us that God has given us all things, has given. It's already done. This was said 2,000 years ago. It was written 2,000 years ago. And that tells us there won't be latter-day revelations, as some churches tell us today. God has given everything we need to know to get to heaven. We know the Scriptures are complete and can make us complete in God's sight. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Again, whatever took place in the Old Testament, whatever took place under the law of Moses in regards to worship, we cannot do that unless we find it also in the New Testament. Again, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, don't go beyond what is written. If it's not written in the New Testament, we don't have the authority to do it. Colossians 3, verse 17 is a powerful passage. Notice what it said. We used that passage this morning. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, whatsoever we do religiously, it says we must have the authority of Christ. If we sing in the Lord's church and only sing, we must have authority for that. Whatever we preach, we must have authority to preach what Jesus preached. We can't add to the gospel message. Think about Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2. This actually contradicts the Luther principle. People say today, well, if the Bible doesn't say you can't do it, you can go ahead and do it. If you remember Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2, in the latter part of verse 2, these two priests who knew the law of God took it upon themselves to do something which the text says, quote, unquote, which God did not command. They went beyond what was written. The same principle in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. It didn't please God, in fact, so much so that He sent fire from heaven and devoured them as an example. In fact, He told Aaron, their father, don't even mourn for them because they were priests. They should have known better. And this was an example to the Israelites under that law. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, I quote that passage often. And really what it says, the things that have been revealed to us, as 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, God has given us everything we need to know to get to heaven. That's all we need to know. We don't need to wonder. We don't need to guess. Ephesians 5, verse 17 says we can understand God's will. We can know what God wants us to do. We don't have to guess. We don't have to ask men to get together and form councils and decide. God has told us that in His written word. Another argument that people use to favor mechanical instruments of music is they call it an aid to singing. An aid to singing. It helps you in your singing. Well, an aid is an expedient. That's something that actually helps you carry out a commandment. God has given us the commandment to assemble. We have pews to sit down in so that we don't have to stand 1 or 2 hours. These are aids that help us worship God, but they don't hinder the commandment. We have microphones so that you can hear the preacher, that you can hear the Bible class teachers, the men that lead in the song service or on the Lord's table, so that we can understand what's being said and what's being done. These are aids. They don't hinder. They just help us carry out the commandment. We have song books to help us follow along with the singer. Can you imagine the confusion as the Corinthian church did when several spoke in tongues at the same time and people didn't understand them, the confusion? Think today, if we came in and didn't have a song leader, as one man in the past has attempted to lead songs, we need to follow along. We can't. Some of us cannot sing without a songbook. And I won't mention my name, but I don't know all the songs. I know a few words and then I'm lost. Occasionally, when I offer the invitation and I didn't mark the songbook, I have to stand there like a dummy because I don't know all the words. I can't seem to memorize songs. But songbooks help us worship together, to sing with the understanding and with the Spirit. Communion trays help us partake of the Lord's Supper They don't hinder. They help us carry out the commandment. We have a church building, to a place to meet, to assemble. We have lights so that we can see, pews to sit down in, songbooks to use. All of these are aids that help us carry out God's command, but they don't hinder us. An instrument actually hinders the command to sing. At least some instruments do. All people cannot play musical instruments. We don't find that commandment in the New Testament. Even in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, there were individual singers. There were individual, the priest had, I think, harps or a trumpet, excuse me. And there were individual singers that would sing. Today, the commandment is for all of us to sing and not any of us to play. These are all commanded to sing together. That we might sing in unity, there might not be confusion. So musical instruments are not an aid, but rather an addition. When God says sing, Hebrews 2 verse 12, if we add instruments, have we done anything? Have we gone beyond what's written? What was the commandment? Sing. Spiritual songs and singing. Have we added anything to that? If we add instruments, we've added to God's word in violation of the scriptures. Another argument that people use is that mechanical instruments are okay in the home. Why not in the church? This morning we talked about what's right in the Lord's church on earth and what might be right in heaven. And some of the views were given in the book of Revelation, which is a highly symbolical book and not so easy to understand unless you've had some studies in the scriptures. You can't just jump into the book of Revelation and think you have a hold of it. And some people do just that. The book of Revelation, for example, tells us that Jesus will return with a sword protruding from his mouth. Do you think that's a literal sword? No. But if you know Ephesians 6, verse 17, we know that what that speaks about. Jesus will return with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and judges. John 12, verse 48. So that's a figurative term, but we understand it's figurative, not literal. The home is a physical institution, but the church is a spiritual one. We know that the church is the spiritual kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24 says, when the end comes, Christ will deliver up the spiritual kingdom, the church, the saved, to God. We know that the kingdom is here now because it was prophesied to come with power and that it, in fact, did that in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. God has not told us in His Word the kind of music to have in our homes. But as far as worship, those are two different matters. But the Lord has specified the kind of music that He wants in the church. If you read through the entire New Testament, you won't find one use of instruments other than that mentioned or alluded to symbolically, except in the book of Revelation. And we'll look at a couple of passages in just a minute. Some things are morally right, but they're religiously wrong. The Jews found out, as Jesus taught them in Matthew chapter 15, that hand washing was okay in and of itself, but it shouldn't take precedence to obeying God. Actually, they were putting more precedence on that than obeying God. Another argument for people who want to use instruments in music is that there were musical instruments in heaven. And we'll look at these. If you want to turn to the book of Revelation, again, remembering that's a highly symbolical book, that is a true statement. You will read about instruments, as we did in the Old Testament also. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, verses 8 and 9. Beginning in verse 8, it says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. If I understand that correctly, this symbolical language is telling us that this was actually representative of the prayers of saints. Notice in verse 9, and they sung a new song. Singing took place in Revelation 5, verses 8 and 9, even though harps were mentioned. Did the beast also have instruments? We're not told that the harps were used or played. They were just mentioned. We're told that the symbolical language indicates that these were prayers of saints. Sometimes in the Bible, incense represented the prayers of saints also. Actually, what took place there was the sound of praise to God in the form of a song. Let's look at Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. I won't take time to read all this. Notice this mentions seven angels with trumpets. Seven often represents completeness. Completeness. So there were in this passage seven angels with trumpets. These are angels in heaven. Notice again the context. This is in heaven, not in the Lord's church. We can't incorporate what we read in heaven as okay to do in the Lord's church, because we don't have that authority to go beyond what we do have in the New Testament for the Lord's church. Instruments in heaven are not authorized today. We find that Colossians 3 verse 16 and Hebrews 2 verse 12. Let's look at Revelation 14. Verses 1 through 3. And I'll close my lesson shortly. Revelation 14. Notice here, and I looked, I'm going to start in verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. You see, some people take this 144,000 as the total number of those that will be saved. But it's a figurative number. It represents all of the saved. Just like the number 7 represents completion. But with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. That would be all of the saved. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven. Notice what he says, as the voice of many waters. He didn't say that it was many waters, but it was as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And he heard, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. What he heard was a voice. We think of the Holy Spirit when it came with power, and the kingdom came with power, Acts 2, 1 through 4. Notice Acts in that passage that we're told that a sound came from heaven, quote unquote, as a rushing mighty wind. That's what it resembled or sounded like. So what we read in the book of Revelation is highly symbolical, and we can't take these literal most of the time and apply them. If you remember Revelation chapter 1, Jesus said the things that must shortly come to pass. These things took place, if I remember, primarily, most of them at least, in that generation. So these are arguments. People use at least five arguments. There's probably many more. This morning we mentioned some major denominational preachers. Charles Spurgeon, I believe, was a Baptist preacher that said there was no authority to use instruments in music, and yet I believe they do use those. A preacher from the Methodist Church, a preacher I believe we mentioned from the Presbyterian Church, said there was no authority for such things in the church. There was no authority in the early church. They were not used. They were introduced in the Old Testament by David. They were allowed by God for a time. We come to the New Testament, And you've heard the principle, the silence of the Scriptures. God is silent. When He commanded instruments, after David invented them, in 2 Chronicles 29, verses 25 through 29, it was then a commandment. When we come to the New Testament, we don't find that commandment to use instruments, just the commandment to sing. And so that's the kind of music God wants today if we want to please God. We can't add to it. We can't change it. We can't subtract from it. Some points to ponder, and then I'll close my lesson. Mechanical instruments were used in the Old Testament. Think about this. So was incense. So was animal sacrifices. Jesus died and was that perfect, complete sacrifice. Should we continue in animal sacrifices today? No, of course not. Neither should we use incense. Neither should we use mechanical instruments of music because they had them under the law of Moses. Number two, instruments mentioned in heaven don't authorize their use in the Lord's church today. What happens there, we read, is highly symbolical. What we have today in the Lord's church, we can actually understand as literal. Again, Ephesians 5, verse 19, sing, we have the commandment to sing spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. Finally, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, the passage we opened with, and that is, let's remember, don't go beyond what is written. That's our lesson this evening. I hope that that's helped us understand why some people argue in favor of instrumental music and why the Lord's church does not use mechanical instruments of music. If you're with us tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to know that Jesus gave the apostles the Word of God, John 17. They continued as He gave them that great commission. Notice Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said that He had all authority in heaven and on earth. He told them to go preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And they were told also in Mark 16, 15 and 16, in these two passages, to go preach the gospel, teach the nations, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you need to be baptized and buried with Christ, we can help you do that this very day. You can leave as a new creation. Your sin, your past sins are washed away. You can begin your new life as a Christian. If you are a child of God and you have any spiritual needs, if you need to pray for yourself, we can pray for you and with you. If you have prayers for someone else that we can help you with, if you would let that be known as we stand and as we sing.